Proverbs chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 1 to 5. Proverbs chapter 6, 1 to 5. Let's give our heart's attention to the Word of God. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer for God's wisdom and God's grace as we come to his word. Our Father, we come asking for your blessing and help and grace. We know that we will never truly understand your word unless you give us the illumination of your spirit. And so we pray you would help us to understand and to apply this to our life, that we might walk in the wisdom of your word. We know that the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, and we pray that the fear of you would cause us to hear and to heed this wisdom from the text. Help me to preach in demonstration of the spirit of power, and may my brothers and sisters in Christ hear and heed your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We saw last Sabbath day the teaching of the folly of adultery and the blessing of a godly marriage where intimacy is a consistent regular practice as the way to guard against the temptations of the adulterous woman. And so we saw that last week, that very practical teaching on the blessing of a godly spouse to rejoice in, particularly a godly wife to rejoice in, to guard against adultery. Today we will see something different, but very practical as well, as we continue on in our study of Proverbs, the reality of becoming a surety. Becoming a surety. And I will define what a surety is so we are all on the same page. But we will see, talk about that, and what to do if you, for whatever reason, do become a surety for someone. And so the main point of this text is the dangers of becoming a surety for someone. The dangers of becoming a surety for someone. First point, the dangers of becoming a surety. Second point, the need to seek to get out of being surety. And third point, our faithful surety. And so my first point again, the dangers of becoming a surety. The Father says in verse 1 of this chapter, my son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in the pledge for a stranger. So what he's saying, we'll work through it, it's all good, don't worry about it. If this happens, my son, if this happens to you, he's writing to them saying this is not happening right now, but he's giving him warnings and advice for what might happen, what might come. And he says, my son, that constant refrain of this father who loves his son, wanting him to know biblical wisdom. He says, my son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger. Let me just unpack what being a surety is. A surety is where you agree to pay the debts of someone else. We could talk, you co-sign for someone. That you say that if you're unable to pay, I will be responsible for it. And so you become a surety in this way. Someone might say, I need someone to sign off this loan. And if they are unable to pay or unwilling to pay, all the responsibility goes to you. And so you could have someone, for whatever reason, says, you know what, I'm done paying this. And if you are co-signing of that, all of the debts go to you. And so that's what he's describing of becoming a surety for a friend or a stranger. That you agree to say, I will pay your debts if you're unable to. And so he's saying, if you do this, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands, and that's what might happen in a pledge, in an agreement to pay, you might shake hands. We even have this in our culture. You might agree and sign on something, sign an agreement, and you shake hands after. That formal gesture of saying, we agree to do this. And he's saying, if you have become a surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in the pledge, in pledge for a stranger. So this could happen in many different ways, but the general principle of it is you become, for whatever reason, responsible for the debts of someone else. You agree, because at that point the debt is on them. You're just agreeing that if they're unable and unwilling, you will take ownership of it. That's what it is to become a surety. It's their debt. It's what belongs to them in terms of what they owe, but you are agreeing, I'll pay it if something happens. And verse 2 describes it as being in a snare. He says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Christians, because we serve a God who is compassionate, who is loving, who is gracious, can be tempted to be surety for someone because we think that that's the compassionate thing to do. That what we need to do to help this person is we need to sign over so that they can get this loan or get this agreement. So we need to be their surety, pet, agree to do it so that they can be productive in life. We can say that it's a form of compassion. But the Word of God says that when we shake hands to be a surety for someone, we are snared by the words of our mouth. If you look with me to Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 15. It says there, Proverbs 11 verse 15. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. I'm going to read that again. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. When we hate being surety, there is security found there. And so we see this, the danger of becoming a surety for someone else. Because you might think at that point, you know what? I'm doing fine financially. I have everything I need for myself. And so therefore, I'll sign off that if they can't pay, I'll pay it. And it can seem good. But we don't know what might happen in our life. Medical bills might come up, expenses that are unforeseen. And if all those debts, let's say thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debts come to us, it's a snare. Because not even our debt. It's debt from someone else. And the Bible has a very low view of debt, our own debt, let alone being surety for someone else's debts. And so how much more is it a snare when you agree, not knowing what that person might do, that you are willing to shake hands in a pledge to become their surety? This relationships get ruined because of this. Because you have someone that you thought was going to pay back and then they don't. And then they don't want anything to do with you because they never want to know. They don't want to talk about the money that they owe because now you're paying it for them because you became their surety. Relationships are strained. Friendships are broken because a person agreed to take on debts that first weren't theirs and brought a snare to them. And so we can be ensnared by taking on what belongs to someone else as our own. Maybe some of you have never even thought about this. Maybe you have. Some of you probably have. Maybe some of you it's new to even think about what it means to be a surety. But it's connected with the reality, again, of you committing to pay what someone else owes. It's also described in verse 2 as you're taken by the words of your mouth. There is a being led astray. You're snared and you're led astray. You're taken by the words of your mouth. That for someone to say, you know what, I am going to pay your loan if you can't, can be a very dangerous trap. There are other ways to be compassionate to people than being a surety for them. You can give them what you have right then. You can buy something for them. You can help them in a certain way. But to become surety for someone's debts, you never know what might come back, because that's something that they're planning to pay in the future. And therefore, you could be the one who is entangled in a debt that didn't even belong to you. And so we see this very down-to-earth wisdom, financial wisdom, because so many issues in life are connected with sexuality and money. It's interesting, the things that are coming up throughout the Proverbs. Those are two things that problems come. You think about someone who went off the rails, a lot of times because he committed immorality, sexual immorality in some way, public scandalous immorality, or he stole from somebody. A lot of those things are very, very practical. That the way we use the money that God gives us is very practical. And what we commit to is very practical, because we make choices all the time about what we will do with our money and what we won't do with our money and what we'll agree to do with our money. And this wise father, by the Holy Spirit, says, "My son, if you get into it, become a surety, it's a snare and you're being taken." And so we see this all the time. There's so much in our culture of co-signing and you promising to pay someone else if they don't. It's so common in our culture that we don't even think about, is this wise to do? Is it good for me to become surety? I will say this, that as I was studying and hearing and reading different things and listening, becoming someone surety is not inherently evil all the time like adultery is. Because we do see in the Good Samaritan, he actually became a surety in a certain sense. Because he said that whatever he owes, I'll come back and pay it. So he's saying, I'll take the debts, I'll pay for it, and that's seen as commendable. We also see with Philemon or Philemon. Philemon, Paul says that about the runaway slave. Whatever he owes you, I'll pay. Let me turn you to that text. If you turn to Philemon. I used to call it Philemon and realize that was wrong. Philemon. Turn to Philemon. So if you turn there to that text, Philemon, right before Hebrews. In verse 17, one chapter book as well, it says, "If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides." So in here he's saying that whatever he owes you, I'll pay it. So in that sense, he is becoming surety. So we do have to be careful that the Bible doesn't say it's inherently evil at all times and all places to become a surety. We'll see that our Lord Jesus Christ actually became our surety. But we do want to be, according to this text, very, very careful about becoming surety because of the entrap, the traps and the snare and being taken from the words of our mouth. And so this text is not saying that there's never a time in any situation ever to become surety. But it is saying if you are, know that there are great dangers in becoming surety. There are great warning signs in committing to that. And so my second point is the need to seek to get out of being surety. The need to seek to get out of being surety. Verse 3 says, "So do this." In light of, if you become a surety, in light of pledging to become a surety, "So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend." What he's saying is, my son, if this ever happens to you, right away, if for some reason that you didn't hear my counsel at first, and you actually shake hands in a pledge, and you say, "I'll become your surety," deliver yourself, my son. Don't wait. Don't stop. Don't say, "You know what? It's okay." No, deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. He's saying, deliver yourself from the snare. Because when you are in a surety relationship, ordinarily, you're in a snare. And you have come into the hand of your friends. Therefore, go and humble yourself. Go to him and plead with your friend. saying I was foolish. I don't know what I was thinking. Something got, I was wrong to commit to this. Will you please allow me to get out of being surety for you? Will you allow me to not be in this agreement? Will you please, please, please let me free from being surety? There is a desperation, a pleading. It's in the text. A pleading with his friend saying, please let me go so that I'm not in this agreement. If that friend says, no, you agreed, I'm keeping it. Well, we need to swear to our own hurt and not change. But if he says, okay, yeah, that's fine. You don't have to be in it. If he allows us, the implication is, well, we've delivered ourselves. But to put ourselves in a situation where we're surety, if that happens, there should be great desperation to get out of it. First and foremost, the counselors ordinarily don't get in the first place. Don't promise to pay someone's debt in the first place. But if you do promise, get out of it as soon as you can, if possible. Do whatever it takes. Humble yourself. Plead with your friend that you can get out of that agreement. That you can get out of this agreement. Also, too, this isn't completely connected, but some people's lives have been ruined or harmed greatly because they agreed to do something or agreed with a business or agreed to work together in a business with someone who wasn't trustworthy. And all those things connected with the business fell on them. And therefore, another reason why we need to be wise as well, it's not completely connected with being surety, but it's connected with taking on big investments with people that are not trustworthy. Because that can bring great harm to people, depending on the situation. But he's saying here, if you become a surety, deliver yourself. There should be humility. He says, go and humble yourself and plead with your friend. Plead with him. He even says, this is more important than you sleeping. He says, give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. He's saying, this is more important than you getting a good night's rest. Forget sleep right now. Get out of this agreement. Do whatever you can to plead with your friend that you might be delivered and rescued from this foolish agreement to pay someone else's debts. Because taking on that agreement can put someone in complete harm's way. And so he's warning him, he's pleading with him. Do not allow your eyes to even sleep, nor give your eyelids slumber before you deliver yourself from the snare of taking someone's debts on yourself. And the thing, I said it before, but I will say it again. It can be very easy to say, well, this person's down and out. This person needs some help. This person won't be able to survive unless I help them. I was listening to Pastor Pollard as I was being personally edified by his preaching on this text. And he gave an example of there was a young lady as he was ministering at, I guess at his first church because it was in Louisiana. And he said that this young lady was down out, not living in a good situation. She asked if Pastor Pollard could sign off her lease and be a co-signer. And Pastor Pollard said, this text came to mind. And he said, I can't do that. And that person, not long after, he said, left. And if he signed, all the monthly payments would have fell on him. Because that person would have got out of it and they would have fallen on him. And he said, I can't do that. He offered to do certain things that he could, but he was not willing. Especially for someone like that. That he wasn't even, it was more of a stranger to him to not sign. That's an example of if you promise that you're going to co-sign with someone for renting, then you're promising if they get out of it, all those payments go to you. Or if someone has loans for this or loans for that and they need a co-signer and you sign, if they don't pay, all of it goes to you. Medical bills, if you co-sign, if they're unwilling or unable to pay, all of that goes to you. And you see how damaging this can be. Because you now not only might have to pay off your own debts that you have for whatever reason, but now someone else's debts that are coming to you. And think about how much that could ruin that relationship. Because that person who's unable or unwilling to pay that debt is probably not going to want to talk to you. Because they're going to feel that they always are having to think about this. They don't want to be around you, and therefore it strains the relationship. And so there's much danger in becoming a surety. And so God wants us to know that we should be on guard and wise. And if we ever got ourselves in that situation, what you should hear now is ordinarily, as a general rule, don't become a surety for someone. But if you do, do whatever you can once you come to your senses. I made a foolish decision, and I want to do whatever I can to get out of it. If you look at verse 5, the drastic language that's used to get out of it. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. If a gazelle gets trapped by a hunter, if he gets trapped in some way, if he's in the hand of the hunter through something he has, that gazelle, if he's still living, he's going to put up a super big fight. He is going to struggle with every ounce of his being because he doesn't want to die. He wants to live. And so he's going to use every ounce of force that he possibly can to get out of that trap so that he can be delivered from the hand of the hunter. He's going to use every ounce of his strength so that he does not lose his life. And what God is saying in this text is the same way a gazelle would be delivered from a hunter, seek to get out of being surety in a relationship. The same zeal and passion and desire that you would have for that, you should have the same passion and desire to get out of being a surety. This is also connected to, this is somewhat of an application to this text as well, but I think it's connected. You also have to be wise if you're expecting people to give you money back that you loan out to them. You have to be wise in those situations. Either you have to be willing to say, if I don't get it back, that's okay. Or you have to say, it's not worth giving a huge loan out myself if you're expecting it back. Because otherwise, the relationship might get strained as well. It's, again, a little bit different being surety. But if they're not willing to pay, all of that goes back on you. You gave it and they never gave it out. They never gave it back. And so all these things are connected to the way we use the money that God has given us. But again, we see that language of we are to deliver ourselves from the hand of a hunter. Like a gazelle would. We should have that type of passion from being surety. It's hard enough for a person to have their own debt. Think about when you get that call. $35,000 of credit card debt is now yours because you co-signed with them. $45,000 of debt is yours because you signed on their medical bills. $100,000 is yours because you signed for their company getting started. Think about the news that would be, and that's why he's saying deliver yourself as best you're able, as quickly as you can, deliver yourself, because you don't want to get a call. $100,000 is now yours of debt because you're the surety for this person. And then he says to deliver yourself like a bird from the hand of a fowler, which is a trap or a snare. A bird, if they get trapped, they're going to do whatever they can to get out of it, to deliver themselves, to rescue themselves from it. And that's the way we should treat being caught in the hand of someone that we shook hands to be surety for. Money can bring lots of strain to people's lives. It can bring lots of heartache to someone because they are, one, maybe they're having a coveting spirit and therefore money is everything to them. Or the strain and stress of not having enough money can be a factor because you get so caught up in not having enough. And so money is such a practical thing. Jesus talks over and over and over again in the Gospels about money, about the deceitfulness of riches, about beware of covetousness, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of what he possesses. We cannot serve God and mammon. All these different things, because money and what we do with money has a great effect, because the love of money is the root of all evil. And people, for the sake of money or because of things connected with money, can do some foolish things and become ensnared. And all we ought to be compassionate as God's people. We ought to show mercy to those who are in need, but not at the expense of denying biblical principles of ordinarily not becoming surety and shaking hands in pledge for another person. But then my third point, and I thought Pastor Pollard in his sermon made a good point of this, and so I want to emphasize our faithful surety. My third point, our faithful surety. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 7. So in light of thinking about the unwise nature ordinarily of becoming surety is for us, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 7, we'll see one who is a faithful surety who does it perfectly. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 20. It says, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant." And so we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, is called a surety of a better covenant, namely the new covenant. And how does Jesus become our surety? Well, if a surety is someone who agrees to pay the debts for someone else, the Lord Jesus Christ, as God manifested in the flesh, came from heaven to earth to be the one who would pay all of our sin debts completely upon the cross. He would be the surety that said, "I will take all of their bills, all of their debts, all of their guilt. I will take all of their wages of sin, which is death, and I will take it upon myself." That he will become the surety that says, every one of my people owes debt before God, debt that they can never pay, debt that they'll never be able to pay back. They're unable to pay it back. And therefore, Father, I will step in and I will take their debt and I will pay as their surety in their place. Jesus is called a surety of a better covenant. And therefore, all of the debts that we owe before God were completely and perfectly and finally paid in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the debt that we would ever owe before God, all the debt that we would ever accrue before the Almighty, Jesus, as the surety of a better covenant, paid. And so as we think about the concept of surety, it makes us think about the one who paid the wages of our sin, which is death, the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, we would have debt that we could never pay, debt that we could never make enough for, because it was eternal debt that only the eternal Son of God could pay. And therefore, he was willing to shake hands with us, so to speak, to pledge with us that he might die for his people, that they might have a perfect surety, that they might no longer have any debt before God in their accounts. And so we have a surety of a better covenant. But how do we apply a word like this connected with Proverbs chapter 6? Well, first, connected with Jesus being our faithful surety, that the only way that you as an unbeliever can ever be right with God and be reconciled to him is to come to Jesus Christ as your faithful surety, as the one who can pay all of your debts, the one who can deliver you from all the debt of sin, that can remove all the guilt of sin from you because he became a surety of a better covenant. And so you need Christ, who alone can deliver you from the sin debts that we all owe to God and can only be wiped away through Jesus Christ. But then for God's people, the money that God has given you, you must be wise with. Wisdom in finances is such a key thing because what we do with our money shows our hearts and shows our commitments. And we see here that God says, for you and for me, ordinarily, committing to be someone's surety is not wise. Don't do it. Don't commit to pay someone's debts. Don't promise to pay what they owe, because otherwise you might be ensnared. So think about ways in your life that you need to be wise to make sure you are using the money that God has given you in ways that are pleasing to him. And being surety, promising to pay debts, is a way to set yourself up for failure. And so we need to be wise because we do not want to be ensnared by the words of our mouth. We do not want to get a call that we owe all this because we signed someone an agreement to pay for someone else. And if you ever get in yourself, this is the response. Like a gazelle, like a bird, do whatever you can to deliver yourself out of that trap. God has given us the resources that we have, the money that we have, to be used for his honor, his glory, his kingdom, but not for unwise, unwarranted surety commitments, because we never know what God might have for us. But we should say, this text doesn't teach us that we should be without compassion. We can buy different things for people. We can get them groceries. We can help them with different things. But that's a lot different from becoming their surety. So God is not in this text saying, don't be compassionate, don't love people. He's not saying that. He's saying, show wisdom and discernment when you show compassion. Otherwise, you might be in a place where you are paying for someone else and their debts. And so may God give us all grace to use the money that he has given to us in wise, prudent ways and not be foolish with the resources that God has given to us as his people, that we might use it for his glory, for the good of others, and for the sake of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would apply these things to help us better understand the dangers of becoming a surety. In Jesus' name, amen.